Dear friends and dear brethren, may God bless you all and happy Easter to all of you. Mm-hmm. Happy Easter, Brother Joseph.
Happy Easter, praise the Lord.
May the Lord bless you in your ministries, in your messages that you give around. So many people are writing and asking your counsel. May the Lord give you anointing, full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord, help me to step out and lead the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
amen. I don't want to be around.
But we want you to be around. Well, today we had a wonderful live program in Italian with our brethren from Europe, and it was very inspiring. They have been writing in with lots of questions about preparing for the end time, questions about having communion, because many of them, they are alone. They don't have a church or brethren to get together with. They don't have relatives or believers. So they said, can I have communion just by myself? So we had together a nice communion on the radio with those brethren who requested it.
Amen.
It was very inspiring. Actually, I want to ask you something concerning communion as one of the first questions, because as I told you, many brethren are wondering, can I have communion in my house? Is it accepted by God, or it has to be in a church?
No, it can be anywhere. Look, there is a good scripture in Matthew 18:20. It says, wherever two or three are gathered together, there I am. So if Jesus is there, it doesn't matter if my religion or yours is not there. It's not my religion that's important, which I don't have any anyway. It's Jesus. As long as Jesus is there, don't let this religion scare you, okay? You know, they'll send you to hell if you don't go to the building, some of them at least. Don't fear them. Don't be afraid of religions. Just make sure you love the Lord and you obey Him and stay close to Him in relationship. You can have communion anywhere you want. The first communion is not bread and wine. The first communion is communion in your heart, heart to heart with Jesus. Jesus now is in our heart now, mm-hmm. and that's the communion that matters. The next after that is obedience. All right? Amen?
So if you have communion in your house, does it have to be made by a pastor or somebody ordained?
Where does it say that?
No, I'm asking. I don't know.
Well, you always have a priest with you.
What does that mean?
Wherever you go, you have a priest.
You don't.
It's in the Bible, read it. First Peter 2:9, read it.
First Peter?
Christian.
2:9.
There is not a Christian in the world that can be anywhere in the world without having a priest with him.
First Peter 2:9.
Go ahead.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Okay, you're a holy generation, so you are a saint.
Hmm.
Okay, a holy priesthood, not priesthood appointed by men. All right? They decide if you have to be a pastor, a priest for the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Catholics, or the Protestants. No. Appointed by God.
Mm-hmm.
In virtue of what? By having received Jesus Christ, the top high priest of all. I'm a priest, you are a priestess.
Hmm.
All right?
So what are priests?
Yes, they start the story that the woman cannot preach the gospel. It's an abomination of desolations. I mean, the women have Jesus Christ in... You girls have Jesus in your heart as much as we men. So this macho, gorilla attitude... That the women are inferior, sorry, is not in the Bible.
Yeah, that's because in the Bible it says the woman to be silent and not to teach the man and this kind of things.
Yeah, but also some men, some of us men should be silent sometimes. It's true that in a lot of places the woman is kept in place, they're not trying to get into that, which is not exactly they teach. But I'll just give you one scripture and then move on, Galatians 3:28. Mm-hmm. What does it say?
There is no Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female
no
in Christ
male,
Jesus.
No free female.
We are all one.
In Christ Jesus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Acts chapter 2, I will pour my spirit, and my daughter shall prophesy, sons and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So this story that the women are inferior, yeah, they're inferior when it comes to making bacon and egg, spaghetti. They are the cooks, the husbands, maybe not. Okay, fine, whatever. So the husband can be the bacon and egg superior. He can be the one who organizes the cooking, the house. Fine. But even that, I don't do. I just counsel him together with my wife. But when it comes to the spiritual, to the miracles, to the healing, to the preaching, to the leading the church, to being the top leader in the spirit, that can be a woman. Can be the Deborah, the judge in the Old Testament. It can be anyone, okay?
So concerning communion, to go back to the conclusion of the answer, is that somebody can have communion in his house even if there is not an ordained pastor present.
But we are ordained.
Because when two or three are gathered together, there is Jesus in the midst.
Yes, you are ordained. When you were born again, you were ordained. You are a priestess.
Thank you, Lord.
In Christ Jesus. Do you have Jesus in your heart?
Yes.
Okay, I can see that. You are ordained. Don't wait until some religion wakes up and ordains you. It's not going to happen. You have to go there, sit down on some church bench for 3 years.
Yes.
This and that. Listen to me. All you have to do is just be born again. And then that will develop gifts. Some will have gifts of being a pastor, gifts of being an apostle, gifts of doing healing, gifts of being prophets. The Holy Spirit will develop you into where you need to be. You don't need to go to a religion to become a pastor. You are a pastor. The moment you're born again, you just need to develop that gift, and not everybody does. Okay?
And what about the brethren who find themselves completely alone? Can they have communion without any other brethren around?
Well, depends. If they are alone because they are avoiding other brethren, then that's another story. There is a sin there of selfishness, independency, they're seeking their own interest. But if they are alone because they are in a jail, or because they are traveling, or because they're persecuted, or because whatever, a wife forsook them, or a husband, whatever, and that doesn't happen to be a church around, or maybe not a church worthy of the name, of course you can have communion.
So they can have it alone in their house.
Yes, but communion is a heart-to-heart with Jesus, then represented by bread and wine when you can.
I know that the story of Smith Wigglesworth, he was waking up every single morning, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and he would have communion every day, but just by himself.
God bless him. That was his faith. Nothing wrong with it.
All right. I would like to go to the next question.
Yeah.
This is from a brother living in Kosovo.
Yeah.
He is North American, but he's been living in Kosovo because of his work for a while now. And he says, I have been really reading the Bible hard, and the Bible is either proving what I hear or disproving what I hear. Seventh-day Adventists, it's a cult without question. But one thing they assert is that the Sabbath is not Sunday. From the reading of the Word of God, King James Version, the Sabbath is not Sunday. I have seen where even the Catholic Church admits they change the day and to worship or keep Sunday as your Sabbath is to keep allegiance to the Pope.
Like loyalty to the Pope. So they are saying the Catholic Church changed from Sabbath to Sunday to be loyal to the Pope.
Right. And he's saying there is a lot of false teaching flying around like never before. So if it is in the Word of God, then I will follow it. If it isn't, then it is tossed aside. Some are saying we are under grace, so we don't have to keep the Sabbath. Or it is not in the New Covenant, so it's not necessary. But just one verse can disprove, and that verse is Acts 18, verse 4, which says, And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. That was Paul. I guess Paul was not in grace since he kept the Sabbath. I do believe the Sabbath is not Sunday, but which day is it? Glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, listen. First of all, Acts 18:4, it doesn't say that Paul was keeping the Sabbath. He said he went there to persuade Jews and Greeks and to reason with them.
Every Sabbath he went.
Yeah, because that's when those guys will get together. All right? But it doesn't say that he was keeping it. Look, for example, you can see that he was witnessing in Greece. Okay, look, you can read Acts 17:19.
Okay, Acts 17:19.
Yes.
And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what is this new doctrine of which you speak?"
Okay, that was the Romans who used to call it Mars Hill. It was the place of the meeting of the city. So just because he went to the Areopagus, it doesn't mean that he was keeping the laws of the Areopagus.
Okay.
So the same way, he didn't keep the Sabbath just because on the Sabbath we go there. See, the truth is that neither Paul nor Jesus, they would keep the Sabbath, okay, just because they on Sabbath they would go there and preach. They would only go there if they could preach, do miracles, do signs and wonders, for no other reason. They wouldn't go there sit down because it's Sabbath. If they wouldn't let them preach, they wouldn't go. All right. So that must be understandable. We must understand it. Okay.
I understand. Yes.
Okay.
So nevertheless, the Lord did give to humanity the Sabbath as a day of worship, but now it's Sunday. Why did it change?
Well, here, according to what his dear brother is writing, somebody told him that he's to keep loyalty to the Pope.
Yeah.
Well, that's not right. I mean, I never heard a Catholic saying that. Maybe somebody is saying, but that is not why. First of all, the Catholic Church didn't change Sabbath into Sunday. Okay, so this is just a propaganda here. You can ask any Catholic. Because, you see, if you go, for example, in the dictionary, okay, if you study, in the English language, okay, sometimes it says that before the year 1250, okay, it was put the word Sunday into the English language, which means the day of the sun,
yes.
Sunshine.
Yes, yes.
Okay, not the Son of God.
Yeah, Sunday.
They were pagan, okay? So basically, the English language, yes, we'll agree, it's a pagan name, Sunday, in English, all right? It's a malformation in the English language because they simply took it from the pagan ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Got that? But the way the early Christians used to call on Sunday, the early Christians, it was not the day of the sun, the sunshine, but the day of the Son of God. In other words, look, read it,
Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet.
Okay, so he was in the Spirit what day?
On the Lord's day.
Which is the Lord's day?
It doesn't say.
It's a resurrection day.
Ah.
Understand? In fact, you can see that in 1 Corinthians 16, which is the Lord's day.
Okay, we go to 1 Corinthians 16?
Yeah.
Yes?
It's 16, 1 and 2.
Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the Church of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week.
On the first day of the week?
Yeah.
What?
Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come.
You got that? You go to Acts 20. It means that Paul is saying here, okay, on the first day of the week, all right, they were getting together. Why the first day of the week? Because that's when they were getting together.
And which is the first day of the week?
Well, Paul was a Jew. For him, the first day of the week, it was the day after Sabbath. See, Sabbath is the seventh day, following day is the first day.
It's true. For the
so
Jews,
the Romans were worshipping, the Romans were keeping the first day of the week, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews were keeping Sabbath.
Yeah.
But here we have the Christians who were keeping the first day of the week, okay, which is the day after Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the first day, it's not the seventh. The seventh day is Sabbath, the Sabbath.
Yes.
Okay, that's clear. Okay, so the Christians were getting together on the first day of the week. Let me give you more confirmation. Acts 20, verse 7.
Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to
what?
Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together.
So when did they get together?
On the first day.
Okay, so remember this scripture, Acts 20, verse 7. It's
okay,
very clear.
Okay.
They were not getting together on the seventh Sabbath.
Not on the Sabbath, no.
They were getting together on the first, which is our Monday. For the Romans was Sunday, for the Jews it was Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? Now it's Sunday. Okay. Now
yes.
It's our Sunday, the Romans Sunday, the Jewish Monday. Don't get mixed up.
I understood. The last day of the week for the Jews was the Sabbath. So the first day of the week for the Jews was Sunday.
Yeah,
our Sunday.
It says the disciples. They don't talk about the Romans worshiping the sun or Venus or Mars.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's talking about the disciples. Read it again, Acts 20, verse 7.
Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight.
Okay, so they were getting together to break bread. In other words, having communion or eating together, whatever. That was the meetings, the weekly meeting. It was not on Sabbath.
Mm.
Okay, now, for example, let's take the Italian Sunday. Okay, I'm Italian origin. In Italian, Sunday is called Domenica.
Yeah.
It comes from Domine. What's Domine? Lord.
Mm, okay. From Latin.
Okay, there are other languages, like Spanish. It's called Domingo. It comes from Domine, which means Lord.
Yeah.
In Romanian language, we learned that language too. How do you say that?
Duminica.
It comes from Domine.
Domine, yeah.
Latin, because Romanian is a Latin language.
Yeah.
Latin. So basically, in all these languages and many others, I think also Portuguese and many others, it's like Sunday. It's not the day of the sun, sunshine, but it's the day of the Son of God. It's the day of the Lord. It's Domingo, Domenica, okay, which means the day of Domine, the day of the Lord. Like it says in, we read in Revelation 1:7, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's day is not Sabbath. All right, because Sabbath, like he was on the cross, like he resurrected on the Jewish Monday. Okay, Mary Magdalena, she went to the tomb on the first day of the week.
So that's why they are worshiping the first day.
Yeah,
of the week.
Yeah, this story. Yeah,
Jesus resurrected then on that first day.
Oh yeah, Jesus resurrected on the first day of the Jewish calendar. Right. So this story that they are keeping the Sunday because to worship to revere the Pope, this is baloney.
So it's not the Pope and the
Please,
Catholic
Church. Please, let's not blame the Pope for too much. Okay?
It's not him who changed the worship from Sabbath
to
Sunday.
Of course not.
It's the early Christians.
But it's straight in the Bible. The Pope didn't change anything.
And it's just a coincidence that it falls on the same day of worship like the Roman pagans.
But excuse me, the Satanists could get together on Sunday to worship to Satan. That's not my fault. I'm nothing to do with that.
Okay.
On Sunday, somebody can go every Sunday take drugs. What am I going to do? I mean, I cannot change Jesus' resurrection day because somebody is worshiping the devil. He can do what he wants. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know what he does. You follow that?
Yes.
Personally, look, I want to be honest. I have nothing against worshiping on the seventh day, on Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went preaching at one time. They invited me in a Seventh-day Adventist meeting. I went to preach. Okay, and it was a Sabbath. It was Sunday, a Saturday. I went.
Right.
Because they let me preach. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone. Okay, I'm nothing against worshiping on Saturday. I would worship on Sabbath every Sabbath. Okay, and I have nothing against anybody who wants to keep the Sabbath. Like it says in Romans 14:5. It says, one esteems a day above another. One esteems every day the same. It says, don't argue, respect, tolerate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So personally, as far as I'm concerned, I'm nothing against. You can worship on Sabbath. It doesn't hurt my holiness, believe me.
I know. It doesn't disturb you. But what's the right thing in front of God?
Okay. Well, the right thing is that, look, you see, Sabbath was a law in the commandments. Keep the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Old Testament, okay? So I would preach in favor of it if Jesus and the apostle would have taught it, and they would have kept it, but they didn't, and with a good reason. See, now we are not supposed to love and worship God any less during the 6 days than on the seventh. See, that's the whole idea of not keeping the Sabbath. We don't keep the Sabbath, not because we want to disrespect God and say, God, we don't want to dedicate that day to you. God, we want to make money. God, we want to work on Saturday, Sabbath, and go make money. Sorry, God.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the reason. The reason we don't keep the Sabbath as a higher day is because we don't want to worship God less in the other 6 days. We want to worship God the other 6 days the same as the seventh. It doesn't matter if I go to work in a factory or if I'm a missionary or whatever. And while I work in a factory 6 days a week, I can worship God during my work. As I'm sitting in the bus traveling, as I'm working in a factory, I'm worshiping God.
Hmm.
You follow?
Yes.
So right. You were asking anything else?
No, to me it was clear. So basically, according to Romans 14, we can worship God according to our faith, either on the Sabbath or on Sunday, or esteem every day the same. Worship God every day, if that's your faith.
Exactly. Well, look, go to Romans 10. See, the Adventists are perfectly right when they say that the Ten Commandments, it says you must keep the Sabbath day. But that was the Old Testament. Now we have another testament, a better testament. Mm-hmm. We have a new law, a better law, which says all the commandments, not just the Ten Commandments, but the 613 commandments of the Jewish law are briefly comprehended in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yes.
Okay, Romans 13:8-10. That's what it says. Jesus, Matthew 22, 37 to 39 and 40, he says all the commandments are in one word: love. Love God and love your neighbor. That's it. Because if you love God, I'm talking about sincere love, not just baloney Sunday morning, blah, blah, hallelujah. I'm talking about fruits,
Amen.
Work for God.
Amen.
Okay, if you have this kind of love for God, that's it. You're above the law. Because every day is a Sabbath. You're not worshiping God less on Sabbath. You're worshiping more God the other 6 days. So you're making every day a Sabbath. Isn't that the difference?
Yes. Romans 10?
Yeah, verse 4, I think.
Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes.
Okay, understand? Christ is the end of the law.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, this some people might get offended. Okay, read also Colossians 2, 16, 17. Look how beautiful the scripture.
Colossians 2, 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drinks, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbaths.
Or what?
Or Sabbaths.
Uh-huh.
Let no one judge you concerning Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come.
They are what?
They are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ.
So you understand, I'm nothing against. I have friends. They are Adventists. Very, very beautiful, sweet friends. But I have a better friends than they. That's Jesus. I mean, I respect the doctrine, but I have a higher doctrine, which I respect more than theirs, and that's the Bible.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells me that the Sabbath was a shadow. Hmm. Now, are we following shadows here? Have you ever run after shadows? Do you get any way?
No.
I'm sorry. There was only one shadow in the Bible that was a healing shadow, and there was the shadow of Peter
mm-hmm.
walking around. I think it was he Acts chapter 5 or something over there. And people were getting healed in the book of Acts. I don't remember the reference.
Yes,
I think it was Acts 12, maybe. So anyway, do you understand?
Yes, very
so
clear.
It's very clear. It's like, having said this, the Adventists, my friends, want to continue elevating the Sabbath above. That's fine. Because, you see, they keep saying that the law is not finished yet. But it seems to me Romans 10:4 says Christ is the end of the law. Will you tell me the law is not finished?
Yes.
Besides, let me tell you, the people who tell you they keep the law, they don't.
Hmm.
They don't keep the law. Okay? They devise ceremonial, a moral law. That's
mm-hmm.
wrong.
Yes.
Because it's like just in the Ten Commandments, there are 9 which are under death penalty.
What do you mean?
Well, if you break 9 commandments, you're supposed to be stoned. Adultery is under penalty. Everything is under penalty except one. Like you shall honor your father and mother. And if you break that, you're supposed to be stoned. That's one. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you're supposed to be stoned. A guy was picking up sticks to cook some food, and they stoned him. He wasn't supposed to pick up sticks on Sabbath. You understand? And all kinds of stuff. Thou shalt no other God before me. If you do, you're supposed to be stoned. That's another one.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember the 10 which is which, but you can check. There are 9 under death penalty. And in the Jewish law, 613 commandments, there are many more under death penalty. Now, don't tell me that you, Seventh-day Adventist, you keep the law. And don't tell me that death penalty is a ceremonial law.
Hmm.
Otherwise, go ask somebody in the Islamic countries, they're having their hands chopped up, they're getting their head chopped off because they broke the Islamic law. Ask them if that's just a ceremony.
Hmm.
You understand? Nobody
yes.
can keep the law. That's why Jesus came. If you try to go back to the law, like Paul told the Galatians, you crucify Christ again.
We go to the next question?
Yes.
All right. This is a wonderful testimony we have received from our brethren in Canada. These are a couple, precious brethren, that we got to know them recently. And they are wonderfully opening their heart. I would like to read it to you because they would like prayer. If we can pray with them today on the radio, but after we listen to a song. Is that okay?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
We continue our live program at Radio Blast with Brother Joseph. God bless you, dear friends who wrote in. We're going to continue by reading the story of some brethren from Canada. They wrote in, they opened their heart, and they're asking for prayer. They say, I am involved in knowing the enemy and his works, trying to wake people up to his schemes. However, here in Canada, people have little use for the gospel. Churches have their religions, their traditions. People in the world have their beer, movies, games, sports, and they're busy trying to make ends meet. And then there are those that judge the church, fault-finding. So they use that to convince themselves that there is no God. And of course, our education, probably since the 60s, has convinced people that we were an accident through evolution. It's a very good rundown of the world situation today.
Really?
God bless you, brother. The Lord gave you a lot of discernment.
Amen.
Then he continues, I was involved in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So, to a lesser degree, was my wife, but she wasn't involved in sex, only in drugs. Jesus saved us. I was 23 when Jesus rescued me. I have been up and down like a yo-yo, but thank God he gave me strong conviction of sin and a renewed heart. I have had supernatural experiences, like being paralyzed with fear at night, not being able to move.
Wow.
I did get Jesus is Lord out of my mouth, and the demons have left. Other times they have appeared as my son or my wife. I command them to be gone in the mighty name of Jesus, and woof, they are gone.
You see, they appear as somebody you love. Like Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians 11. The devil appears as an angel of light.
Yeah.
See, that's why you cannot believe every vision. The devil will come as somebody you love, a brother, somebody. You have to always check everything with the Bible.
Wow. Sometimes they try and paralyze my vocal cords, but I battle through and I get out of my mouth, be gone in the name of Jesus, and they are gone.
You see, that's the secret, okay? Anyone undergoing attacks of the devil, the secret is this. Fight and fight and fight.
Amen.
If you have to die fighting, you die fighting, but you don't give up.
In Jesus' name.
See that you will win.
Thank you, Lord.
Every time you win because Jesus is stronger. The only way the devil can win is when we give up, when we don't fight. Fight and fight and fight and fight. You either win or die fighting. That's the name of the game here, okay? It's the only way to overcome the devil.
Amen.
In everything, physical healing, spiritual deliverance.
Amen. My wife is battling through rheumatoid arthritis. After working for 17 years, in 2007, she developed this condition. Often during the night, she breaks out speaking in tongues and also singing to Jesus in an unknown language. Very beautiful, I must say, but I don't understand it. Jesus then, he gives some release.
See what happens? She speaks in tongues and then she sings to Jesus. See, a good key is to sing to Jesus or talk to Jesus or think to Jesus because he's the key.
Amen.
Jesus holds all power in heaven and on earth. And that's why they get release. They feel better. They overcome because even in the dreams, she goes to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's something to remember, dear brethren. Whatever problem you have, turn to Jesus. So as you do that, the devil begins to back off.
We are very blessed. Jesus did it all at the cross for us. And we rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you. I know the Lord Jesus is with you. End of message.
Praise the Lord. And he's with you too. Praise
God.
Yes. Here is a scripture for this, dear brethren. Scripture for them is Luke 9, 1 and 2.
Luke 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases.
Praise God.
He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick.
So this is the power we receive the moment we receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, in next chapter, 18.
Luke 18?
Yeah, Luke 10.
Luke 10.
Verse 18.
Luke 10, verse 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven.
All right. 19.
Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Fine. So this is the scripture for you, brethren.
Thank you, Lord.
Is the main scripture. I'm going to be share now some more scripture with you, but this is the main scripture, right? The next scripture I want to give you is scriptures of precautions, of warning of the devil works, all right? But this is the scripture. This is going to be your sword in your hands, okay?
Luke 10:19.
Yes, Luke 9, 1 and 2, and Luke 10, 18 and 19.
Amen.
All right, because you have power over the devil, and the reason you don't get total victory is because you don't totally mind, spirit, and soul, don't focus on the Lord. But if you do that, unto death, you overcome every time.
Thank you.
Whatever, physically or spiritually. Look, in 1 Peter 5:8, there is a warning scripture. Scripture of warning for all of us.
1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
All right, Matthew 12. So the devil goes around like a lion in a forest looking for a lamb. And we are lambs of God.
Yeah.
And he will attack us if we don't walk around with the shield of faith up. Never lower the shield of faith. Like in the book of Nehemiah, they were always carrying the sword in their hands, building the walls of Jerusalem one hand, with the other hand having the sword. Because their enemies are just waiting for a little unguarded moment to destroy them, but they couldn't because they were watching and praying, building and keeping on guard. That's what we need to do. Look at Matthew 12, 43 until 45. What happens? The Lord is helping you already, all right? And look at what the devil is doing around you and around us.
Matthew 12:43.
Yeah, we're exposing the works of the devil, okay?
Yes.
So tune in carefully.
When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first.
Okay, that's it. So basically, the next is Acts chapter 8. I have another scripture.
Okay.
We are in the warning category here, okay? Just
yes.
To warn you what the devil is doing around you. The Lord give me this scripture when I pray about you. So listen. Basically, the devil is trying to come back. Okay, he always tries to come back to you and to us. We get delivered of a devil, seven worse devil come back. And they, what happens? You know, when you rejoice for a victory, I got healing, I got healed, I got delivered, I this and I did that, like David in the Bible, in the 2 Samuel chapter 11. He was so victorious, he was such a great man, he had overcome Goliath, and he had become the king of Israel. He just put a shield down. And then he started looking around in the flesh as he saw Bathsheba. He committed
yes.
adultery and murder. You understand?
Yeah.
So because he put the shield down. And so seven worse spirits will come back. It doesn't matter if you got delivered. They'll come back.
So how can we avoid that?
Okay, I'll get there. Okay, first I want to finish this one. Acts 8:13. Read it.
8:13. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done.
17.
Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
18.
And when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.
But
Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.
Okay, here's the warning for us. The warning for us is this, that once we are on the right track, like Simon here, he was a believer. You see, read the end of verse 23.
23?
Yeah, verse 23, 24, the end.
Yeah. Pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me.
Okay, and John chapter 5. So basically, Simon here is asking Peter, please pray the Lord for me that these things don't come upon me. In other words, Simon, the magician here, okay, he was a believer. He really, really, really believed. See, churches today are full of believers who really believe,
mm-hmm.
but are disobedient. They really believe, but they're really disobedient. So they sit in front of this demonic TV, and they get full of TV demons.
Wow.
You understand? So before they realize, they go into homosexuality, they go into adultery, they get into all kinds of sins. Like the seven worst spirits come back. You know, some Christian, there is a huge deceit by the devil. Some Christian think, in fact, majority, that once they get saved, they're born again, they can go to sleep. They don't have to obey God. They don't have to obey the commandments of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be under the law of Christ. They don't have to study the New Testament and the Bible. They don't have to obey the gospel. They don't have to obey the commandments of Jesus. They're saved. They just need to be raptured, go to heaven and drink champagne or Coca-Cola, whatever they think. It's not like that. You know, in Daniel 12, 2 and 3, it says some of those guys are going to be resurrected to everlasting shame. It's not like that. The devil, he goes around. Peter is saying here to Christians, devil goes around you like a roaring lion. Jesus here in Matthew 12 is not saying, once you're born again, it's okay, just go and sing hallelujah every Sunday morning on the church bench. No. No, Jesus said, watch out. He's not talking about losing salvation here. The devil cannot steal that from us anymore. Thank God. That's because Jesus holds it in his hands. John 10, 27 and 28. Jesus holds our salvation with his hands. And that's the only reason we don't go back to hell.
Yes, amen.
Too bad that there are some false prophets preaching that you lose salvation. It's not true. You lose the rewards. You can be resurrected to everlasting shame, but you don't lose salvation. Thank God for that. Otherwise, Christ has failed. Christ saves you and keeps you saved.
Thank God.
We see Simon here. He didn't walk in the way of faith. He didn't walk following the disciples in word and deed and example. No, he looked around like David saw Bathsheba. He also saw something. Oh, I can make money. You know, and Peter said, your money perish with you. So once we start with Jesus, once we get delivered, we need to stay delivered. Once we get healed, we need to remain healed.
And how do you remain and
stay
delivered?
By obeying Jesus, the commandment of Jesus, by undergoing, staying under the law of Christ. Yeah, the law of Moses is finished, but attention, there is another law coming, and it's the law of Jesus. The first law, you can lose salvations. Another law, we need to love God all your heart. Another law, you need to love your neighbor. Oh, I love my neighbor. I give a dollar donations every day to that guy. Just a second. That guy is going to hell. Your dollar donation or a $1 million donation can help him land in hell, a rich guy. But still in hell. That guy, you need to give him salvation.
Yeah, it's true.
If you don't preach the gospel, you don't preach the gospel because it's a religious commandment. Those guys are going to go to hell. I'm not loving my neighbor if I don't give him salvation.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, got that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the story of Simon. Go to John 5:14, look.
Yes, John 5:14.
Yeah.
Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you."
2 Timothy 4. Jesus is saying to this guy, if you sin again, a worse thing, a worse sickness, if this guy was sick, a worse thing is coming to you.
Like 7 demons return, and it's worse than before.
The exactly same message. See, be careful about this baloney preaching today. You're under grace. You're under grace as long as you obey. Grace is not a cover for disobedience, beloved. Grace is the power of God to enable you to put in practice. It gives you the strength to fight against the devil and overcome. It gives you the grace to carry weights, which normally you can't. It gives you grace to remain faithful, but if you choose. The grace of God is not going to choose for you. If you choose to follow the world, the grace of God is not going to force you. See, the grace of God is not like the devil that forces you, rapes you, and is going to try to force you to get the mark of the beast, force you to worship the world. The devil tries to worship, threatens you, and seduces you. The Spirit of God is not like that.
Thank you, Lord.
It's all around you. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. He said, I'm here to love you and to help you. But you know, it's like the most beautiful girlfriends or boyfriends or wife or husband. He's just there to help you. If you want, Jesus is our boyfriend, the fiancé, the bridegroom of the church. I'm here, I just want to love you, but I'm not going to rape you. I'm not going to force myself on you. You have to follow Jesus. He's not going to push you.
Yes.
Go there.
Yes.
Go to 2 Timothy 4,
verse 5. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Keep going.
For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
All right, so here we finish positive. Now, how could Paul say this, that he's laid up for me a crown of righteousness? Because
he knows he was faithful.
He forsook all. He knew he had given his whole heart to Jesus. He was not puffed up in pride. I mean, if I tell somebody, you know, I have a crown waiting for me, somebody could say, oh, you are puffed up in pride.
Yes.
And that could be.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the level of Paul. But that's the goal. That's the direction. That's the way we need to go.
Amen. Yes.
So, what we need to do, we need, once we are delivered, and I believe you, beloved brethren, are half delivered, but not completely. I believe the Lord is with you. The Lord helped you to get out of drugs, get out of your sex problems, your sex addiction and everything. But these things are going to come back. If your dear wife has to wake up in the night and rebuke the devil in tongues, that means the devil is very near.
Hmm.
If Jesus has to come to her through her sleep to make her rebuke the devil, how? By praising God, by singing to God, by speaking in tongues. That means that during the day, you guys are a little lazing around. Please go on the attack during the day. And don't wait for the night when you're asleep, that's the only time Jesus can get close to you and make you do what you're supposed to do. Do it out of your willingness and obedience and choice, not out of God's mercy only. May God in his mercy, because he loves you and he loves you so much and he will never forsake you, comes during the night. That's the only time you are kind of in trance. You know, sometimes people fall down. They're hit by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they just pretend. But some people, I've had people falling in front of me when I was praying for them. And they actually fell. I was shocked, and they were shocked because they were Catholic. They were in a Catholic meeting. They didn't know what this was, and the guy was shocked. Nobody was expecting. And the guy was there for, how long was he there? Remember the Catholic?
He was there some 10 minutes on the floor, but when he got up, he told us the vision he had. Jesus actually spoke to him. He had a wonderful revelation. So it was
I had a vision. I forgot that.
It was a real experience, yeah.
You remember that?
In that meeting, there were two people who fell, and he just laid on the floor.
Remember the guy, he came in, he was with his son or something, was with another guy, and he was so proud, and so it was very hard to get through. As soon as I put my hands, he fell, and the Lord just started witnessing to him. Wow.
Thank God.
What I'm saying is God sometimes had to make you like drop dead almost, so he can work on you. You know, just like you go to a hospital, the first thing they do before an operation, they put you to sleep. They just take you out of commission so you don't bother, you don't scream. You know, don't cut me like this, don't cut me like that. What you do? You cut in my stomach, stop. Yeah. So they put you to sleep.
Yeah.
So they can chop you up, hopefully, hopefully the right way. So in a way, the Holy Spirit does that. He puts you to sleep. So I can just love your brain, I love your mind, I love your body, I love your spirit, I love your soul, and fix you. It's like take a car to a mechanic, and then the mechanic says, now you can go. I said, no, I want to stay here and tell you how to do it. Said, no, you can go. Sometimes we try to tell the mechanic. You know? And the mechanic one time told me, tell me what you want, and then please go for a walk. He said, I want you to tell me how to do it. You know, I wanted to help the mechanic. The mechanic said, that's the door. And I had enough good sense to leave. So that's what God does. He comes to you, to your dear wife. We saw your photos, are very beautiful. And you're a blessed couple, beautiful couple, sweet couple. You are half delivered. God wants to finish the job. But you must go to him. Here is a message for you during the day, not just in the night. I know during the day you love the Lord, but there is something missing here. There must be something missing, I believe, has to do with your full heartness. You may be going to God 90% of your heart. There is still something that is missing. So start the day, desperate prayer, desperate worship, and at every difficulty, rebuke the devil, command the devil to leave, and keep going until he leaves. You're driving the car, you're cooking, whatever you're doing. Command the devil to leave, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you keep insisting, he will leave. And at night, you can keep loving the Lord, but then that would not be the only time when God can get close to you and get you rid of the devil. You understand that?
Amen.
Okay, that's it. So if you want, you can say a little prayer.
Yes.
So Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray for these beloved brethren.
Thank you, Lord.
From Canada. Lord Jesus, we saw the beautiful photos. I can just see in their eyes, they love you, Jesus. And together with them, right now, by the authority which I've received from you, Jesus, and anyone with the Holy Spirit has received, but I want to put it in practice. Full authority against you, devil. Now you take your hands off these beloved, blessed brethren. They are God's children, and that's why the devil is after them so badly, because they can be such a damage for the devil's kingdom. They can be such a witness. And the devil hates that. He's trying to stop them right in the beginning. So I command you, devil, to leave.
In
leave,
Jesus'
Satan.
Name.
Go away from these brethren.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
I command perfect sleep for them at night, that they go to bed at night with Jesus, get up in the morning with Jesus. And you, devil, will not get close anymore. Get out of here, Satan.
Jesus'
go.
Name. Jesus.
Get out. Jesus. By the name of, by the authority and the name of Christ. By the power of Jesus and the authority of Jesus, go in the name of Jesus. You
Amen.
Shall never bother these brethren again. They will walk in the straight and the narrow. No more sins, drugs, sex, etc. Jesus, they are delivered.
Amen.
We know we all had our share with our sins. We all went through the world. We all did the wrong things. And
yes.
we all are forgiven in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and these
Amen.
Precious brethren are forgiven.
Amen.
So in the name of Jesus, we agree together
Jesus
that they are cleansed and delivered
completely.
From any bad spirits of the devil.
Jesus' name, completely.
Completely delivered.
Thank you, Lord. Cleansed.
Your devil will not appear anymore to them in the semblance of their son or their wife.
Thank
Get out of here,
Jesus
angel of light, you deceiver. In the name
Thank
of Jesus Christ,
Lord.
We
thank
command
God,
angelic protection
Lord.
Around them during the night
Amen.
And during the day, and most of all, that they will start to obey what they know that they know already they should do.
Thank you, Lord.
And possibly they're not doing rightly, not full-heartedly. Help them to throw that TV, if they have one, out the window. In the name of Jesus,
thank
throw it
God.
Out the window right on the head of the devil.
Amen.
And aim straight.
Thank
and
you,
crush
Lord.
It and smash it.
Thank you,
and walk around with the sword of the word in your hands, always quoting scriptures. Hang scriptures around the wall. Let the word play all the time around the house, even our radio or whatever.
Jesus.
Or gospel or scripture. Something playing continually to fill their house with the atmosphere of faith, of the word, of the Bible, of Jesus.
Jesus.
Something
Jesus.
That the devil cannot handle, cannot stomach. Something that destroys the devil and his darkness. That is the light of God and the light of Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. In the
amen.
Name of Jesus Christ,
Jesus
the brethren
name.
To write to us immediately and tell us immediately of the progresses, of the healing, of the blessing, which I know that I know that they are already now this second in their
amen.
House.
In, Jesus
in the name,
name
of Jesus Christ, amen.
And we pray the same prayer for all the listeners, everybody who's listening now. Deliver us in their lives from any oppressions of the devil, any presence of the devil, complete cleansing of their hearts and deliverance. And also I want to pray for healing into the body of the sister in Canada, complete healing in your body, sister. Jesus died on the cross also for our healing.
Amen.
And he paid already. He took the sicknesses away from you.
Command the arthritis of the devil to go back to
Jesus
the devil,
name.
Never come back.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, sister, you are healed. Your
Jesus.
Arthritis is gone. God loves your bones and loves your body. He created
Amen.
You and
Amen.
You are healed. Now, this moment.
Amen.
Now, from this very second, begin to feel the improvement.
Amen.
Might take 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 hours. 10 days, I don't know, but the improvement has begun.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. You are
enjoy
blessed.
Your healing.
Amen. You are blessed.
Receive a little bit of heaven now.
Thank you, Lord. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. It's
Amen.
A holy temple. It belongs to Jesus. There is no sickness in you. God has no sickness. It's a holy temple, your body.
Amen.
You're blessed. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Lord,
thank
bless
you,
them.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We love you and we'll keep you in our prayers, dear brethren. You are precious. And you've been writing to us, opening your hearts. We saw that you are special people. You're sincere. We also felt your love through the donation that you sent. You know, the brethren, as soon as they heard that there is a fire in the area here and 2,000 houses were burned, they sent a loving donations.
Yeah,
and that really touched my
and
heart.
And that we were able to also help to finance the team. We sent five people.
Actually, we sent five people to work there in the area. And
bless
they've
them.
Been there for a while now.
Sweet brethren.
Yes, so really, really bless you. We felt your love. And we know that God really loves and appreciates you. And we do too.
Praise the Lord.
So stay in touch. Write to us. Like Brother Joseph said, tell us the progress. And if there's anything else we can do for you, let us know. Greetings to everybody. Happy Easter again to all of you. Stay in touch. Write to us. And we'll hear each other again next week at the same live programs, at the same hours, Saturday and Sunday.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. God bless you.
Praise God and thank you, Jesus.